So many federal agencies allow their employees already to connect to their network through some wireless access points. For instance, if you're in a conference room and you would like to download a presentation or you need some additional documents for your discussion, so you would like to access the internal wireless network to download those documents. Maybe you have a visitor coming and he wants to access the network using their laptop. So there's definitely a need for wireless network access. The problem is there are some security flaws. By using wireless networks, you open up your network to attackers. Finally, you have to protect the wireless link, because wireless links are fairly easy to eavesdrop on, and so it needs to be protected as well. So taking all this into account, you need mutual authentication. So you need to authenticate the network, the user, and you need to establish a key that you can use to encrypt the wireless link. So this document discusses how federal networks and federal mobile users can use the extensible authentication protocol, which is EAP in short, for this purpose. So EAP can provide network access authentication to achieve all those security objectives. So this draft is kind of a guideline for administrators to set up networks for federal agencies to allow wireless network access.
So this is really for internal or federal wireless networks, not
yes.
How to deal with non-federal ones.
And the reason why it's important is to get go back a little bit is, so EAP is widely used. However, it's not one protocol. EAP is kind of a framework. And currently there are more than 40 EAP methods, okay, to choose from. So if an administrator is setting up the network, how does he or she know which methods to allow to support in the system? And this draft is give some guideline how to select EAP methods that provide the right security. And so the draft provides a general set of security requirements for EAP methods, but also gives examples. Like we look at 4 existing EAP methods and check if they meet the criteria of our draft.
Are there 1 or 2 EAP methods that are really the most often used?
For sure. There are some methods that are commonly used and they're implemented in products. So not all of them are widely used.
So obviously it's a draft, so there's going to be some comments and people will go from there on it. Is this document, as you kind of explained, will help improve wireless security. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And the way it will do it is by giving them the guidance, if you will, the basics about how to protect those 3 pieces of it, the network, the user, and to establish a key to encrypt the wireless link.
That's correct. So the protocol ends with establishing a key. So protecting the link by encryption is out of the scope of the draft. But at least it enables the encryption of the link.
So really this is focusing on the network and the user?
Yes.
And the encryption piece will be maybe dealt with separately?
Yes, that's later, but you need a key. So EAP enables the establishment of such a key.
If federal agencies have these wireless networks set up, are most already using EAP? Is EAP fairly standard, or is this something that is just really getting into the community?
So the widely used wireless access technologies are Wi-Fi and WiMAX, and they already provide some security. And so one configuration of those Wi-Fi and WiMAX is using EAP for network access authentication. So yes, it's already widely used.
Are there other challenges in using secure wireless, either networks or devices, that federal agencies need to address as well?
Another very interesting challenge that we did address in the draft is using password-based authentication. So a lot of especially older systems, still use passwords for authentication. But I guess most of us know it's not very secure, because passwords might be easy to guess, they are short. So what is done in EAP is you can first establish a secure tunnel and then exchange the password within the secure tunnel. And this draft talks about in which case you should use password, or not you should, but you can use password-based authentication. And it also tells you when you cannot use password-based authentication. And basically, here it's up to the user to decide when he or she can use passwords or not. So the draft gives a pretty good guideline on that.
I was going to ask you about that. Is there an example you can maybe give to help explain when password authentication is okay and when it's not?
For instance, there are some EAP methods. They're called tunneled EAP methods. So you first establish the tunnel, and then within the tunnel you exchange the password. That case is okay. But if the connection starts and you don't establish such a tunnel, in that case you shouldn't send your password over the unencrypted wireless link, because an eavesdropper can either pick up the password directly or break the password-based authentication.
Now, you came to work on this document in a very interesting way. Can you talk a little bit about how that happened?
I knew that the computer security division at NIST was looking for somebody with a background in wireless security. And at that time, I was a PhD student at the University of Waterloo in Canada. And so I applied for the position as a guest researcher at NIST. It was a great experience. For instance, originally I only signed a contract for 6 months, and I ended staying well over 2 years, because it's a great environment. There are so many people, and you have scientists from all kinds of backgrounds. So computer security is only one part of it. So you can collaborate with other groups, and it's very amazing.